Good morning. We have been going through the epistle of 1 John, and I thought that I would talk a little bit more about something here that we have already talked about, expand on it a little bit, because I've been thinking about it. It is in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. By now, you're familiar with that verse. We've talked about it. And I want to center on the conditional part of that particular verse this morning. Before we do so, though, let's think about the other two important ideas contained in this verse. We still, as Christians, commit sin, and therefore, we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse those sins. If the blood of Jesus ceased to cleanse us, we would again stand guilty before God. So if we meet the condition, John says, that we can have access to the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Secondly, if we meet the condition, we can remain in true fellowship with the Father, Son, and each other. Even though the sentence treats these two as separate blessings, in a sense, we know that we cannot remain in fellowship without the cleansing of the blood, and we know that we cannot have the cleansing of the blood unless we remain in the fellowship. Now, for those two things that are interrelated, we must praise God. We can't help but praise God for the great blessings he has bestowed on us in that, in the fact that Jesus' blood continually cleanses us, and the fact that we can have fellowship with Father, Son, and brethren. But then there's that little word that introduces that condition, if. It'd be interesting to go through the Bible and figure out how many times the word if is used, especially in the New Testament, if. Because that word really weighs heavily for such a small word. And in this case, it says those things that we talked about previously, those blessings, can only be had if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship, and we have the cleansing of Jesus' blood. Question is, what is walking in the light? And I know I talked a little bit about this at the time, but it seems like it comes up a lot. We think about it a lot. We talk about it a lot, this idea of walking in the light. And so what is it? John uses this idea frequently in his writings. John writes about darkness and light very often. But it's not a concept unheard of in the Old Testament, walking in the light. In fact, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so John seems almost to be picking up on that idea in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. Because Isaiah calls a people that are turning away from God to come back and to walk in the Lord's light. Job, lamenting an earlier time of blessing, gives us some insight here into a perspective that I've come to like about this idea. In Job chapter 29, verse 3, he says, When his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. And there's an emphasis there, there's a perspective there that's a little bit different. The idea of being able to walk through darkness by his light. David sings to the Lord in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 29, For you are my lamp, O Lord, the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. Now we know, of course, and we've talked about this already, that Isaiah and Job and David are not speaking of a physical light to guide us through a literal darkness, but that God is somehow a spiritual light in the figurative darkness of this world, this life. This world is a very dark place. It doesn't take much searching to figure that out, to find out that that darkness is all around us, everywhere we look, more and more every day. The condition of the world is becoming what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. When we look around us, that's what we see, don't we? We see people who are thinking that the things of darkness and evil are actually the things of light. Evil is done in the darkness, and darkness is around us. even in the daylight. While we often believe that we are apart from the darkness, I think the perspective that I want to talk about this morning is a little bit different. And the reality is the Bible has various perspectives on light and darkness. I'll say later, I'll mention a verse about coming out of the darkness. Those verses we read earlier, Job talks about walking through the darkness. Sometimes I think we have this perspective as Christians that we are in the light and the dark is over there. They're two separate areas, they're two separate things. You know, if we're doing what we're supposed to, the two are never going to meet because darkness is way over there. I think that's the wrong perspective. At least it is the wrong perspective for me. I think in those verses, what we see is the idea that darkness is here, we are in darkness, and God's light shines on us in the darkness. God's light guides us through the darkness. In Psalm 112, verse 4, the psalmist says, "Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness." There are several perspectives the Bible gives, as I said, and so you may not picture this one as the one you want to think of. But for me, I think this makes sense because I think about the relationship between light and darkness in the world. If we were to turn the light off, we would instantly, theoretically, be plunged into darkness, at least to some degree. If you're home at night and you turn the light off, you're plunged into darkness. You are then in darkness. It gives me a sense of how close darkness is to light and how close light is to darkness. How close we are to the darkness. We're not very far from the darkness at any given time. We're not very far from the darkness at any given time. It reminds me of the movie The Mummy. When I was putting this lesson together, if you've seen the movie The Mummy at the very end, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but it's been out for 20 years or whatever, so if you haven't seen it, that's on you. At the end, the Weasley bad guy gets stuck inside, if you remember that scene, and so everything's closing down around him. He's there, you know, he's stuck. And all those little scarabs come out, and they're all surrounding him, and the top of the building is coming down, crushing everything, and so it crushes any windows. Eventually, he is in the dark, and yet you might think that's the perspective I have. It's not really. It's the scarabs. The scarabs are the perspective that I have. Because he's standing on this little spot, you can see. He's just standing on this little spot where there are no scarabs. And all around him are these things. And they're just waiting to get him. And as soon as it gets dark, you hear him start to scream. Because these things rush in. And so I feel like that's the perspective, that we're standing on this patch of light in the middle of the darkness. It's almost like a spotlight if you're on stage. It's almost like a spotlight. And each of us is in darkness. We know that we have been in darkness in our lives. We start out in darkness. Well, we don't start out in darkness as babies, but at some point, we put ourselves in the darkness. We wrap ourselves in that darkness. We come to appreciate our sin. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul says that God says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And so at some point in time, we hear that call. You're in darkness. You need light. Jesus will give you that light. And then, as I said before, God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:3. That almost gives you the perspective that you're in darkness over here, and God says, come out of that darkness. And so you may have that perspective about the way that you think about this. But to me, I have the sense that that darkness is all around me. You know, when I was a kid, Maureen will say that this never ended, but I had a very fervent imagination in the dark and in my sleep. My father would put me to bed, and I remember him putting me to bed, and he would either read to me or talk to me, and then he would kiss me goodnight, and he would walk out of the room, and as soon as he pulled that door closed, the man with the knife came out from behind the door. And he was ready to get me. And I would scream, "Dad!" And my dad would come back in. And as soon as he opened the door and a little bit of light came in, the man was gone. And this just would keep happening, you know, for a long period of time. This man was always trying to get me. And I have this perspective when I read this about walking in the light that's really how close we are to the darkness. That the darkness is waiting to get us. It really is. The darkness is waiting to envelop us. But God calls us out of the darkness and into His light, or He shines light on us in the darkness, whatever your perspective is. And John picks up this idea in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, because he says, "In Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." When Jesus came into this world, He was in the world, and yet He shone forth in the midst of that darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's kind of interesting to me that without the darkness, you could not have the light, right? The darkness has to be there so that you could then introduce the light into it. So in the beginning, when the earth was without form and void, and what was on the face of the deep, you know, the Holy Spirit, but what was there? Darkness, right? And then God said, "Let there be light." And so God shone that light into the darkness. And I believe that that's kind of the way that this happens, isn't it? When we become Christians, He shines that light into that darkness that we're in. And now we see the light. But the light really is Jesus, if we think about it. In fact, John has really almost said that. He says in chapter 1 that God is light. And then right before that, he talks about the idea that Jesus was manifested to them, and that they touched Him and they heard Him and they saw Him. And in the beginning of his gospel, as I already read, he says Jesus is the light that came into the world. The reality is that when we think of walking in the light, it's not a nebulous concept. It's not the idea that we have of, you know, just being a Christian. You know, if that's kind of, well, what is walking in the light? Well, it's being a Christian. Well, what does that really mean? Jesus is the light. And I believe that the point of saying walking in the light is walking in Jesus. It's the idea of using His example to pattern ourselves and to follow Him and to walk as He walked, to be the kind of people that He showed us He was. So that means that we have the same attitude and actions that Jesus did. But I want to think about the idea of attitude really more so. What was Jesus' attitude towards the Father? Well, He wanted to do the Father's will. In fact, He said it is His food to do the Father's will. If somebody came to you and said, "What can you not live without?" You might say food and water. A human being can't live without food and water. Jesus would have said, "I can't live without doing the will of my Father." So when we walk in the light, we are saying we need to do the will of God. We need to be about His business. What about Jesus' way of life? What about the way that Jesus conducted Himself? What about the way that He dealt with situations? What about the way that He dealt with adversity? How did He look at others? We see the compassion and the love that He had for others, the mercy that He was willing to show to other people. It's about showing those kinds of things. We spent the whole Bible study class this morning talking about some of these things, right? And having these kind of attributes in our lives. Walking in a way that actually makes those things come about in our lives. And that's the idea, I think, when a writer of the scripture says that we need to walk in the light or walk in the spirit, that's kind of the idea that we're talking about. We're walking in the pattern that has been set down for us. So, if that's the case, in my mind, it's not about walking into the darkness. It's more so about leaving the light. It's more so about making a conscious decision to veer away from the light. If we're Christians, we're in the light. When we make the conscious decision to sin, we are making the conscious decision to leave the light, to leave the example of Jesus, to do something contrary to the example of Jesus. And I think that's the problem. That's the perspective for me. It just shows me that this existence is very fragile in that sense. This existence is very precarious in the sense that we are so close to the darkness, and the darkness wants to overtake us. Why do you think Peter says that Satan prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? You know, that roaring lion, we tend to think sometimes that roaring lion, and he's over in Asia or someplace. You know, the reality is he's right here. And the point is that we need to make sure that we're focused on that light, that we continue to keep our eyes on that light because we want to be in the light. We're sort of like the moth, you know, that flies up to the light and is drawn to the light. That's the way we want to be. In John chapter 12 and verse 36, Jesus said to his apostles, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." I don't think Jesus is saying the dark is over there and it's going to come and come to you and overtake you. He's saying the darkness is right here. The darkness is ready to overtake you. And all you have to do is let your guard down. All you have to do is start to develop attitudes that are contrary to the attitudes that Jesus showed, and the darkness is going to overtake you. God is the lamp that you carry that lights the way. As I said before, it's like a spotlight in my mind. You may picture it however you want to. There are various examples in the Bible, and there are certainly illustrations in our own lives that will help us to picture this. I think it's like a spotlight to me. That's a good representation to me of this principle, that I want to continue to be in that spotlight. Can you imagine going to a theater, and all of a sudden the theater gets dark, and the actor or actress who's on the stage is standing there, illuminated by the spotlight? What happens if the spotlight starts to move this way and the person moves this way? Now they're out of the spotlight, you can't see them, right? You can't see them. And they lose their way because the spotlight's going over there. Another thing, too, to think about in terms of the spotlight illustration is that other people see us in that spotlight. You know, there are people out here in the darkness who can still see the light that's shining on you. They can still see you walking in that light. And that's important because it's not just about ourselves. It's about how other people perceive us. It's about how other people can see the light in us. So when we think about this, I don't think it's just about doing right. I don't think it's just about the actions. We talked about that a little bit this morning too. We have to have the attitudes of heart behind the actions, right? We have to have a heart that is striving to be like the heart of Jesus, that wants to be like Jesus, that we want to be like Jesus in attitude and heart. That's really the idea of all of this. And the problem is that we don't always do right. But I think the difference is that as Christians, we do wrong not because we've given ourselves over to that in heart. A lot of times our heart is fighting that, right? That's what Paul says, the flesh wars against the spirit. You know? So my heart and my attitude want to do what's right, but sometimes I do what's wrong. The problem is when your heart and your attitude say, this is okay, I can go do this, it's no problem. And that's when the problem comes, because that's when we're veering off from the light. So let's think practically of a couple of things here in terms of walking in the light. As I said already, let's focus on the light. Let's realize that Jesus is the light. Let's realize that that light was manifested for us for a reason. And that reason is so that we could see that light and we could imitate that light, be drawn to that light. We need to focus on that light. As Michael Medved used to say on his radio show, like a laser beam, we need to focus on that light. That light's always going to be there for you as long as you walk in it. That light will always be there because God is faithful. And you need to study the light. You need to understand the light to the best of your ability. You need to love the light. You need to be like the flower out there in the spring that starts to turn toward the sun, right? That's what the flower does by nature. As Christians, that should be our nature. It should be that we turn toward God, right? We turn toward that light. We want to be in that light, need to be in that light, because God is the light that sustains us. Christ is the light that sustains us. Secondly, we need to continue to fight against that encroaching darkness, not let it in. I think we all understand how easily darkness can gain ground in our lives. I think we all understand how easily the darkness can come in. But we are told to resist those things. Resist evil, or resist the evil one, right? That takes some effort and some work. We need to resist that darkness. We need to hold it at bay. So at the same time, we're focusing on the light and going to the light, to that light. Maybe I shouldn't say it that way, right? Going to the light. But the idea of moving toward that light. At the same time we're doing that, we need to resist that encroaching darkness. We need to fight against that darkness, because it's going to come in if we let it, if we give it a foothold. And of course, we need to learn God's desired design for us. And I like to think about it in that way too. God didn't just give us commands so that He could order us around, right? We understand that. We all know that. God gave us commands because He designed us a certain way, and so then He gives us the methods to live in the best way that we can, right? And at the risk of getting in trouble, I'll borrow a phrase from Joel Osteen, right? Your best life. You know, the point is that how do we live our best life? It's not by expecting that we're going to be healthy and rich and everything else in our lives, and God is going to bless us because He just wants to bless us, and so we're all going to be blessed. Not everybody lives life that way, right? We don't see that. That's false teaching. Name it and claim it, and all the other false doctrines that go with that. But in our lives, we see that in order to be the best people that we can be, we have to understand how God designed us, what He designed us for, and how He designed us to live. And once we can do that, we can be the best people that we are capable of being. So that means we have to take some time, and we have to learn what that design is for us, what God's desire is for us in terms of our living. He instructs us on how to stay in the light and abide in the light. He tells us that. But the reality is that if you have a fire, if you're sitting by the campfire, you understand that at some point that fire is going to go out. Why does that fire go out? Because it doesn't have any more fuel. It doesn't have any more wood on it. So you have to keep putting wood on the fire in order to maintain that fire. And it's the same thing with Christians. If we're not putting wood on that fire all the time, that fire is going to go out. The light is going to go out. We need to be building up that fire. At the risk of driving this illustration into the ground, I hope you understand the point that I'm trying to make here. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So I think that if you want to know what walking in the light is, it is simply imitating Jesus. That's the idea of walking in the light. And I think that's what He says. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me," well, that's walking in the light, "shall not walk in darkness." God's light will shine on that person. And so this is what we need to be doing continually in our lives. Yeah. And if we're not, Jesus is saying, you will end up walking in darkness. There's a possibility, I think, too, in this, that I can have one foot in the light and one foot in the darkness as a Christian. I think that's possible. I think that's true. Sometimes we dabble in the darkness. Sometimes we stick our foot over there in the darkness, you know, to see how it feels. But we as Christians have to understand that's how close the darkness is. I can put my foot over there in it. And I can be walking. I can be walking down the street with one foot in the darkness and one foot in the light. That's when we know we have problems. That's when we know we have trouble that we need to work on. Even the psalmist recognized that the Word of God, Jesus, ultimately personified the Word, was the Word, was a lamp unto his feet. So what's this all about? It's about how we live our lives, that's true. And it's about doing what's right. That's true too. But it's not just about those things. It's about our attitude of heart and about how much we are willing to devote our hearts to Jesus, to live the way he lived, to allow his example to become what we are, how we live. If we've been obedient to the gospel, if we've chosen to allow God to shine his light on us in the darkness, then that's good. That's good. That's the first step. That's the thing that we all need to do. But after that point, certainly we need to continue in that light. In this sinful and evil world, God's light will always be there to guide us through. But our objective is to remain in that light, to stay in that light. And I'll conclude with what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, that takes this metaphor, this idea of walking in the light and walking in the darkness, and internalizes it. It brings it inside of us. And it says, you know what? You were darkness. You didn't just walk in darkness. You were darkness. But now, because you were called out of that darkness, you are light. We are light. Each and every one of us here today who's been obedient to the gospel is light. And we need to walk as children of light. Children of light walk in the light. And to them, it's not a decision. I don't wake up every morning and say, am I going to walk in the light this morning? No. It's a foregone conclusion. It's part of our nature. And so realize that you are children of light, but that your obligation is to walk as children of light. That's the lesson. If there is something that you need to do in your life this morning, whether it be to be obedient to the gospel, whether it be to repent, or whether it be to ask the prayers of the congregation, whatever it might be, I would encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.
Okay, so that's the wrong